right, let's pick up with our thought this morning. We're talking about, I want to read these verses again to you, and I want to say a few things, and I won't keep you too long tonight. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, and I want to pray before we look in the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this evening, and I pray you help me as we look in the Word of God. Father, I pray you'd touch me and let me preach with unction. I ask you to open the hearts of the listeners. And Lord, no doubt there's multitude of needs amongst this little congregation. I pray you supply each of those needs, Father. I pray, Father, if you would, that you'd get all the glory and all the honor. You'd remove any hindrances that might hinder the working of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Give us clarity, thought, and speech. Help us to say exactly what you want and to say it in the way you want. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, or chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." And then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And so we see again this phrase of walking worthy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, we see the same thing again. 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, chapter 2 and verse 12. It says this, "that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Now here's the burden on my heart as we get ready to approach the new year. I should do this probably every week, or maybe every day, but I start analyzing and evaluating my life. Have I really made a difference for the glory of God in 2021? Has our church made a difference? I'm not in a position to answer those questions. But I think on those things. Really, we don't know what kind of difference we're making. We won't know until eternity. And that's just the way it is. I remember one time we had a little van riding family. It was Junior and Rebecca, and was there another one? Or the other two that wouldn't come. The older daughter said she was an atheist and the mama wouldn't come. That's pretty much it, isn't it, Brother Brian? And so some years later, Brian goes down on the vacation and just, I don't think you knew they were there. Or did you know they were there? Okay. So he went down to check on them. Am I close? All right, so here they are. They're all in church. And guess who else is in church? The atheist girl is in church. And the mama's in church. And Brian said this to me, what blessed him above it. They seemed happy to be there. It was a joy to them. Now, here's what I'd like to think, that we had a little part maybe in that. I don't know if we did or if we didn't. But I'd like to think maybe the Lord used us as we ministered and loved on them two younger kids. Maybe the mom and the daughter saw something that they'd never seen before. Maybe they saw Christ in us. And so here, the whole point is, you never know. You will never know what your life means. Every now and then the Lord will let you see a little something to kindly encourage you along the way. But I still ask those questions. I still ponder on that. I examine my Christian life. Am I walking worthy? Three times the Bible tells us to walk worthy. I think that's for emphasis' sake. I think the Lord is trying to place emphasis, and we talked about the walk. Walk speaks of movement, of action. Walking speaks of short distances. That's how God works. Just He'll move you a little, and then He'll move you a little more, and He'll slowly take you along the way. Walking speaks of contact. You can fly without touching planet Earth, but you can't walk without touching planet Earth. Has to be, and I understand you can say, well, you could be on this or that, and be in a building and walk, but understand what I mean by that. If we're going to walk, we're going to have to be in contact with planet Earth. And then we said this, if we're going to walk worthy, we're going to have to have the proper technique. You can't just walk any old way. Now, if I was going to walk to Townsend, it'd be foolish for me to start down towards Maryville. I'd be going the wrong direction. I mean, you just say that's a foolish way to even think about. If my goal is Townsend, I need to be moving in the right direction. And I need to stay in the right direction, maintain the right direction, and need to establish the right pace. The fact of the matter is, a worthy walk is a walk that follows God. Now, I could say a lot about the right pace. You start walking too fast, you're liable to wear out before you get where you're going. Walk too slow, you may never get there. There's just a lot of things we could say about this thing, but really this thing of pace, what's most important is that we follow the Lord. If we go too slow, we're hindering and not getting where He wants us to get. But if we get too fast, we get in front of Him. We get out in front, and the Lord really ought to be leading us. And I think we all can say that. And we talked about all those things this morning. And then we said this, are we walking worthy? And what does it mean to walk worthy? We just talked about that. And number one, we have to have the right attitude. There's no doubt about that. You have to have the right. There is such a thing as a godly attitude or a godly mindset. And there's also an ungodly attitude, an ungodly mindset. And so there is a battle in our mind. And I think that's where the battle starts at. I think it starts in the mind. I think every one of us, even with sin so many times, every act of immorality most likely started in the mind before it ever became a physical reality. So the mind is very important that we think right. And so as we looked in our text, we see this in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness. I'm not going to preach on that again, but if we're going to walk worthy, we have to be humble people. We have to be people of humility. Big shot, proud, arrogant people, they're not going to do much for the Lord. Not going to walk worthy. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them that's trying to walk for the Lord. But really, God uses humble people. He blesses. He resisteth the proud. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And so we spent some time on that. And then we talked about this. If we're going to walk worthy, we're going to have the right attitude towards others. Now, the Bible says in verse number 2 also, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And so, we have to forbear one another in love. We have to put up with each other. Now, sometimes it's not hard. Sometimes it's easy. We just love everybody and everything's happy and everything's going good. But a lot of times, things come up and we have to be long-suffering. We have to be the mature one and overlook immature actions. We have to forbear or put up with people when a lot of times we don't want to, but we do that for the cause of Christ. That's part of the worthy walk. And going right along with those things, we talked about this. I really should have took a time and spent a lesson on forbearing one another in love, about us loving one another. But the word seemed like the Holy Ghost just led me to verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, here's what I think. I think when the Holy Ghost puts us all together, whether it be a local church or whether it's His church, the body of all saved believers, and I think there is a universal church. I understand the Catholics jump on that, use it wrongly. But I believe if you read 1 Corinthians 12 with an open mind, I think you'll come to that knowledge. But there is this thing of the local church, and we can talk about that tonight. We have to endeavor to keep unity. We ought to be pulling in the same direction. You see, we're going to read in chapter 4, just right after that, we start talking about the body. In verse 11, we look at the gifts of the body, the different gifts that fit into the body. And we could say much about that, but we did this morning. And so we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the body. Verse 16 says it's fitly joined together. In other words, it just fits just right. God made it that way. Now, as we look, and I could preach all that again, we could go to 1 Corinthians 12, and it says all the members of the body are important. There's none that's unimportant. Can I say everyone in this church is important? We need everybody. There's not anybody that we could say, you're not important, it don't matter if you come. We need everybody. We all have our place. Whatever that might be. But then I want you to notice, we didn't talk about this much, but let's look in verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, some folks seek to keep peace by force. They want to keep peace by confrontation. They want to smother everybody down that doesn't believe exactly like they do, or maybe has a little different to take on some things, or maybe a little different look than what they have. And they try by force, I'm talking about, they try to have unity, whether they have to run somebody off or whatever they have to do. But can I tell you, the Bible says if we're going to walk worthy, we need to seek the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God's people ought to be a peaceful people. By peaceful means, we ought to seek unity among the brethren. God's people ought not be a fighting people. Now, I say that we ought fight the devil, but we ought not fight each other. That's right. And I'll say this again. I say it regular, but I want to say it again. If you get angry in this church and your emotions get out of control, the best thing you can do is go get in your car and drive home and stay till you get calmed down a little bit. And then we can deal with whatever problem it is in an adult manner. Don't you think that's right? I think that's the way we ought to do business. And so we see that. And so one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And we could start, let me just read a few of them. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. It's God's will that we be at peace. We can't always be that way. As much as life in you live peaceably with all men, sometimes you can't. It just won't happen. But we're to be, if we're going to walk a worthy walk, we're going to have to be a peaceful people. We're not fighters. We're not looking. You ever seen people, they're not satisfied unless there's a big fuss or a big something up in the air all the time? You ever seen folks like that? They're just not happy unless something's all all blowed up. Can I tell you? That's not godly. That's not God's way. That's not who God expects us to be. And if we're going to walk the worthy walk that He wants us to walk in 2022, we're going to have to be people of peace as much as we possibly can. That's how it is. And can I just say, you ought to have peace in your home. Nothing wrong with saying that, is there? There ought not be a fuss and a fight all the time at home. Y'all not fuss and fight all the way to the church and then come in and act like everything's all right. Everything's not all right. We're a people of peace. And God expects us. It's an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. And I've got 4 or 5 verses there that we could talk about. But really, I want to move on. A worthy walk is characterized by an endeavor to keep unity in the bond of peace. And so we need to get a hold to that. And then I want you to notice, I believe it's verse 17 of chapter 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, I read all that to get to these verses. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if we're going to walk a worthy walk, we're going to have to put off the old man. And we're going to have to be renewed on a regular... I believe this is on a regular basis. He's talking to believers here. And he's saying to them, you're going to have to put off the old man. Old man. How many times do we let our old sinful nature start controlling our life? Isn't that right? We just get into the flow of life and maybe the things of God slipped our mind and things happen and we just have a knee-jerk reaction to it and the old man rises up and the old man begins to take charge. He begins to act like he did when you were, before you were saved, you see. And your spirit gets a little sideways, if I could say it that way. You ever had the wrong spirit about somebody or something? Does that not happen to us along the way? Here's what he says. If we're going to walk worthy, we've got to put off the old man. Really what I'm preaching on, I think, is repentance. We just have to repent. Isn't that right? We start living like we did in a way contrary to God, like we did as our old man did. And we have an old spirit that's not what it ought to be. And here's what he says as he's talking about this worthy walk. You've got to put off the old man. Excuse me. And you're going to have to be renewed in your spirit. And then you're going to have to put on the new man. You know what we all do every day? We all just in our minds, we all just put on the new man when we wake up of the morning. We all just say, Lord, forgive me and help me. And I want to put on the new man. As I go out to face the world, I want them to see Christ in me. I want them to see that. That's what a worthy walk is about, don't you see? My, I think sometimes, how in the world are we ever going to make a difference in the world when we live, look, act, talk, speak like the world does? If we're the same as they are, how in the world are we going to make a difference? Well, we're not. And so let me slow up a little bit and just say this. If we're going to walk worthy, we're going to have to put on the new man. Well, what does that What does that entail, this putting on of the new man? Let's see what the Bible says. It's funny how the Bible just many times will just explain your question. What does it mean to put on the new man? Look in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Well, the first thing it looks like, if we're going to put off the old man, put on the new man, we lay aside lying. We put lying aside. And we embrace truth. You know, sometimes it's hard to say truth to people you love. You ever thought about that? It's hard just to say truth to people you love. You want to say something kind. You want to say something good. Especially if it's your children or something like that. Maybe it's a little bit strained because you've tried to witness to them, get them to be what you're, encourage them in spiritual matters, and things are strained a little bit. And sometimes it's hard. But can I say, if we put on the new man, we will not lie to them. We'll have to tell them the truth. And we do that in love, of course. But here's what I'm saying. If we're going to walk worthy, we're going to have to be people who deal with truth, who share truth, who do not sugarcoat it, who we do not just tell those we love everything's okay when it's not okay. We have to be truthful, but we have to do it in love. And so if we're going to put off the old and put on the new, we have to put away lying and we have to speak truth with one another. But then look in verse 26. If you're going to put off the old and put on the new, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now notice verse 26 and 27, there's a colon. It's not the end of the sentence at the end of verse 26. And I say that, and I make that point, because I'm going to put verse 27 with verse 26. And so, if we're going to put off the old man, we're going to have to put off not dealing with our anger. And if we're going to put on the new man, we're going to have to deal with it in a godly manner. Now, how do you deal with anger? Now, we all get angry. The Bible doesn't say that it's wrong to be angry. It says, be angry and sin not. There's some things that it's right to be angry about. We ought to be angry at the devil. Nothing wrong with being angry at the devil. And sometimes folks do things, and I really don't think it's wrong to have a little, a lot of people call it righteous indignation, but that's just another word for being angry, I guess. But here's where I think the problem is, be angry and sin not. Well, how does that, what's that talking about? Well, look at the text and let it speak for itself. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't harbor that anger. You may get angry. I get angry. Well, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I get angry quite often. Something stirs me up just about every day, some way or another. I catch myself getting angry. But I want to tell you, I might get angry rather quickly, but I get over it quickly. I don't hold on to it. You know what anger will do in your life? It'll eat you up. It'll destroy you. It'll rob you of happiness in your life. You'll sit around and it'll make you bitter and calloused and cold and mean-spirited. Here's what the Bible's teaching. If you get angry, get over it. Get it out. Don't allow that to dwell in your life. Not for a little while. As soon as you can, get that anger out of your life. That's how we're going to walk worthy. That's part of it. That's how it is. And so, be ye angry and sin not. And then it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then it says this, neither give place to the devil. Now here's what I think. I think when you harbor anger, you're giving the devil a place in your life to get a foothold. That's exactly right. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's what James said. That's helped me, I guess, as much as anything in my life. When you're angry, you're not going to work the righteousness of God. and you give the devil a foothold, you better deal with that anger that you have. Whatever it is, you need to deal with it. Get it out of your life. Don't entertain it. Don't take it to bed. Don't give the devil a place to get a foothold and make you bitter and hard and mean-spirited. And the fact of the matter is, if you're going to walk worthy like the Bible tells us to, like we're supposed to do in 2022, if we're going to line up by the Bible, then we're going to have to deal with anger in our life and deal with it in the right way. Amen, preacher. Real quiet, but that's right. You better not let anger get a place in your life and stay there. And so we're talking about putting on the new man. We have to get that anger out of the way. And only the Lord can help us with that many times. Takes the Lord. What I'm talking about is easy preaching. It's hard living sometimes. And so, if we're going to be put on the new man, we're going to have to put away lying and put on truth. We're going to have to put away anger and put on whatever Psalms of anger, love, I guess. And then if we're going to live victorious, we cannot give the devil a place in our life. Does the devil have a foothold in your life? I have to ask myself. I have to ask myself that question. Sometimes the circumstances of life make me angry. It just makes me angry. I get in the flesh and I get angry. And I deal with it. I try to and get over it. But if I'm not careful, the devil will get, he'll just get a little foothold there. Are you angry about anything? Let's just stop at anybody or anything, and you cannot forgive them for it. And that's a pretty strong thing to say, because there's a lot of bad things that's happened to people by other people. You can just let your mind wander on that. But the fact of the matter is, if we're going to live victorious, we have to have victory over our temper, our anger. And that's part of it. And then it says in verse 28, if we're going to put off the old man, put on the new, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so we see if we're going to put off the old, we've got to put off stealing, taking what's not ours. And I want to say to you folks that work a job, to cheat your employer is stealing. To cheat your employer is stealing. To work 6 hours when you turn in 8 is stealing. Amen. That's how it is. And I understand that's not too popular of a stance, and we take great pride in cheating the company out of a little pay maybe or something like that, but God's people ought to be the best employees there is anywhere. Amen, preacher. Don't steal from your employer. Amen. That's the right thing to say. And so let him that steal... stole still no more. But let him work. Here's what he said. Let him work that he'll have. And then we come down to verse 29. And we see this little truth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Unto the hearers. Here's what I think is being said. And I think this, I could spend a lot of time maybe just talking about this, but a lot of God's people, their greatest sin is with their tongue. It's with their tongue. They'd never steal a dime from you. They'd never hurt you or harm you. They'd never step out on their wife. But they let their tongue commit sin time and time again. And I suspect in my life and I'm not proud of this, and I'm not boasting about it. Probably my tongue has caused me to sin more than any other. Not that I curse, not that I even lie, but just my old quick to be smart retort. You ever been like that? Somebody say something, you just smart back off to them? You're not going to let them get by with saying that to you without saying something back. You think that's godly? No. No, we're not to be overcome with evil, but we're to overcome evil with good. What the Bible says, we need, if we're going to walk worthy, we've got to keep corrupt speech, corrupt communication, let's use the Bible word, out of our mouths. And here's what I've seen, and I don't know if there's any of you in here, they use little four-letter words, and they say they're not cussing because they're not using God's name in vain. But as far as the world's concerned, you're cussing. That's how the world looks at it. And you can use those little words. And I've known a lot of so. I knew a deacon who talked using, I call it smutty. I don't know what the right word to use, but just old. He never used God's name in vain, but he used bad words, and nobody had any confidence in him at all, including myself. And if you use those words and I hear you, I won't have confidence in you. Now, here's how they justify it. Well, it's just plain talk. Well, it may be plain talk, but it's going to cost you your influence with me. And really, I think with a lot of people. I think that's right. Here's what I'm saying. Just keep corrupt communication out of your mouth. If we're going to walk worthy, we've got to keep that. We've got to keep that out of our mouth. And then notice verse 30. I'm not going to get to where I wanted to get to. Verse 30 says, "And grieve not." If we're going to walk worthy, we ought not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you can grieve Him. You can grieve Him. What is grief? What does grief mean? It means you have extreme sorrow. Have you ever made the Holy Ghost have great sorrow in your life? That's what we're talking about. God's people grieve the Holy Ghost. And there's a lot of sins. You can grieve, you can quench Him, you can resist Him, you can lie to Him. Some have blasphemed Him. You can do despite to Him. He's a person. He can be offended. Have you ever just caused Him to be very sad? Weighted down with sadness. That's what grief is. Here's what it says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. Well, how? How are we going to grieve not the Holy Ghost? Let's see what the Word of God says here. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Here's what it's saying. You grieve the Holy Ghost when you have those things in your life. You ever seen bitter people? I was trying to think how to define bitterness. I looked the definition, didn't make any much sense to me. But here's how I like to say bitterness is manifested with an old sour attitude. Nothing's right, everything's wrong. I might not ought to tell this story. Well, I'm not going to. Y'all know who it was, I guess. But there's people who don't appreciate anything. Don't appreciate it. And all they got is an old mean-spirited comment to make about things. That's right. I don't know. I've been preaching whole night over here. I need to turn over here and preach a little bit. Good night. Y'all need it worse than they do. Maybe that's why. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm wanting to say to you. Be careful not to grieve the Spirit of God. You just think about this. making God very sad. The Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit, making Him very sad. We do that with an attitude, with bitterness in our heart. We make him sad. Isn't that pitiful? I guess the right word to say. And here's what he said. He said, don't grieve him, so let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor's just a bunch of noise trying to stir something up, and evil speaking. And I could preach on every one of those. If I had time, I need to preach on every one of those and deal with them individually, but I don't. Put those out of your life. Don't allow those to control your life. Don't allow it. I'm talking about a worthy walk. Walking in a way that has value to it for the cause of Christ. A worthy walk. And then notice this, when you get those things out of your life, here's what you need in your life to please the Holy Ghost. Be a kind one to another. Kindness. I just grew up, in my mind, contrary to, everybody was so plain spoken where I grew up. And sometimes I'm not gentle enough. I know that. I mean, you just get your legs cut out from under you around my place when I was young. And humiliate you and everything else. But here's what the Bible says we ought to be. Here's what God's people ought to be. I want to be what He wants me to be. Don't you? I want to, as much as I can, walk worthy. I'm going to read it and we'll be through tonight. Be a kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Man, I can get so hard-hearted sometimes. I mean, I can... This convicts me. This convicts me. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You want to walk worthy? My, I do. You know, I may be like Brother Locker, this next year may be my last year. I'm sure, maybe Brother Mike don't put this on the screen in case Sister Locker were to see this, but last January, Brother Locker's preaching What We Need to Do, 2021. He didn't know that's his last year. Last year. We don't know. You see what's went on in our church, and we never know. And I'm saying that to say this, I want to walk worthy. I want to please Him. And the Bible's very plain, very specific on what we need to do. I could go over to Colossians 1, and we need to be fruitful in every good work. Well, I don't know if we can be fruitful, but we can have good works. I've got a whole page to preach to you on. I'm not going to. But we ought to be people of good works. Well, what are we going to do? What do you want? Really, that's what it comes down to. You know what people do? They do what they want to do 90% of the time. You know why people come to church? Because they want to. You know why they don't? Because they don't want to. That's just how it is. We do what we... In this country, anyway, we pretty much do what we want to do. Isn't that not right? You know that's so. What do we want in 2022? What do we want? Where are we at? What's our goal? Brother Stennett Blue said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. What he used to say. If you don't have any goals, you're gonna hit it. Do you want your life to count? Do you want a worthy walk or an unworthy walk? 2022. What do we want for our church? What do we want to teach these young people? You know, old people, your actions speak much louder than your words to these young people. Just does. Let's bow our heads. What do you want this year? Just a verse. just a verse of a song. Nobody comes will. One verse, Sister Grace. Nobody needs to pray tonight.